Hey everyone, welcome into Morning Invest on this Wednesday, October 6th. On today's show, a stock market crash is coming that could rival the 1929 crash. Get ready for a new term in your lexicon. It's called shrinkflation, not shrinkage, but shrinkflation. As you may have noticed, you've been paying more for less stuff. And it's going to get a lot worse. We're going to dive into some of the numbers on that. And I don't know if you saw the whoop-de-doo yesterday in Congress there, Congress asking and grilling the whistleblower from Facebook about what Facebook's been doing and the hidden research and all of this. Well, it turns out all of those members of Congress pretty much getting tons of money from Facebook. So we'll dive into the hypocrisy there. We're also going to talk about the Federal Reserve and a bunch of other news this morning on the show. So welcome, welcome, welcome into Morning Invest. It's time to get uncomfortable. Remember, you only grow when you are uncomfortable. And that's the news this morning, uncomfortable. Time to get started here on Morning Invest. James Figueroa in our chat says, Clayton, you need to make a t-shirt that says want stimulus. Like the, was it got milk or want? Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, look, all of these stories are tied together at this moment. I mean, what we have with the debt limit, what we have with the stimulus, what we have with the Federal Reserve, what we have with the stock market troubles that are on the horizon right now, what's happening in the marketplace, what's happening in China. Really, all of this sort of global market is tied together. And so we'll kind of break some of these things apart today as we dive into some of these different pieces here. But I do want to start with this on the show today, which is the stock market crash. There are some troubling signs this morning. I mean, first I can just mention China before we get into the United States side of this whole thing. Of course, the Evergrande crisis we brought to you in another video about a week or so ago when we talked about China's largest real estate developer basically not being able to pay its bills. Hey, does that sound familiar? Like the United States government not being able to pay its bills, right? So Evergrande not being able to pay its bills in China. And that we were hearing from experts anyway that was saying, look, this is just the tip of the iceberg in China. You know, this is just the very beginning, that it's about to get worse, that you're going to see a lot more real estate developers and a lot of other banks also having these big issues in China. Well, they're right, because this morning we're learning about Fantasia, which is it's not a Disney movie. It's a Chinese real estate developer. They failed to make their big payment yesterday. Millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars in payments that they just couldn't make yesterday. Here we go. Get ready. Buckle your seatbelts. Evergrande, Fantasia. Is the Chinese government going to prop these banks up and these developers up? Or are they going to nationalize them and sort of roll them into themselves? But this is going to have global reverberations. Make no mistake about it. So please pay attention to what's happening with China. We are not an island anymore. All of this is tied together. Same thing is true of what happens in the United States has ripple effects around the world, like in 2008, 2009. So now we get news this morning about a potential 1929-style stock market crash. According to a couple of different experts, John Wolfenbarger, who's a Bull and Bear Profits CEO, says that U.S. stocks may be on the verge of starting the biggest bear market since the Great Depression. You know, I'm looking at the market this morning and looking at the futures, looking pretty fine right now. That's the thing. Like, there's always this calm before the storm in the markets. You notice that? Do you notice how, in a very much like a hurricane situation, oh, it's a very pleasant day. You know, that's what people were saying about Galveston, Texas in the early 1900s and 1901, right? Wow, it's a beautiful day. And then 24 hours later, the entire town is destroyed. That's what's happening. So I don't know about you. How many of you watching right now have your money tied in a 401k plan? Have your money tied in the stock market? Have your future retirement tied to the stock market? You know, I've been telling you for months, if not years now, that if you have your money in stocks, if you have your family's future in stocks, you need to get your head examined. That when you are, you're basically holding paper assets that are tied to nothing. By the way, who do you think gets the money first when a company has problems, right? The board members. The shareholders don't. So you get zero, okay, if a company collapses. You get a exactly R2-D2. You get a zero if the company collapses. Who's texting you at, what is it, 6 in the morning hour you on?
Philip, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I have him on, you and him are on favorites, you know, so that you get through my focus.
good. Yeah, that's like my wife and you. We're in the same boat here. So how many people, you know, like I'm just looking like Frederick Lasorde in our chat says 401k should be 401, not okay. Yeah, exactly. And this is the thing. It's like, so what do you put your money in? Well, you put your money in safe assets, historically safe assets for 4,000 years, which have been safe, like real estate, right? Gold, silver, precious metals. That's where you put your money as a hedge against this inflation, as a hedge against this coming crash. So, or you can protect yourself. You know, if you've got a 401k plan or retirement plan with your company, it's time to have a conversation with your provider and saying, okay, how can I protect myself? Maybe moving some of that stuff. And I'm not a financial advisor. I can't tell you where to put your money. But what I did was in order to protect myself back when I had a 401k and I couldn't tap into the 401k unless I left the company, I moved everything that was out of the active stock market. Okay. And I moved it into money market. I moved it to really, really boring, conservative, safe stuff. And it really protected myself. And that's what you can do. So again, let's take a look at this piece. This is a pretty troubling piece this morning as stocks are about to kind of hit this 1929 crash. Veteran analysts echoing 1929 crash of today's stock market. Let's go through some of this. Stocks are climbing following a big wipeout. So that's what you're seeing, right? You're seeing like the stocks going up. Tech stocks, right? We saw Facebook down. So now things are kind of going up. The NASDAQ up nicely, about 1.25%. Not bad, right? S&P kind of going up towards again, could have, you know, hit another record close, right? But we've got this jobs data coming on Friday, right? And so we'll see how the jobs data looks, right? But what CEO John Wolfenbarger is saying is that this could be the biggest bear market since the Great Depression. And by the way, I've been telling you with a number of other experts, Ray Dalio and others, that because of the amount of money that the Federal Reserve has been printing and sending out to these big banks, like we are on the verge of major catastrophe, a total inability to pay this back, total inability. Now, what he says is now with the Fed talking about tapering and money supply growing significantly, slowing significantly from 39% in February to 8% in August. Perhaps that is enough of a tight monetary policy to change investor psychology to a more bearish mood. We'll see. Excuse me. He spent 22 years as an analyst. He says, I'm not a permanent bear. But he said, right now, if you see when like you're watching the S&P 500 moving average closely, if the 250-day currently at 4,000 were at a really breakthrough, that could trip a major drop for stock. And you look at the look where we are right now. Just get a sense of history here and how this shakes out, right? Early 2000s, tech bust. 2008, 2009, recession. Similar signs here, obviously with COVID, but similar signs in the market. Similar signs in the market right now, where we have this 200-day moving average slipping behind and showing these big pullbacks since 1980. Similar signs of these big pullbacks and big collapses. But because we're so, one thing that we need to consider, if you take his recommendations along with the likes of other market analysts who say that these companies are sitting on massive amounts of debt, like they're not, as we were joking yesterday, they're not hiring people. Like they're not putting all of this money towards increasing wages and hiring. No, they're buying their own stock back. They're giving their CEOs huge golden parachute salaries.
Imagine if we did that as small business owners. We would be in prison. Like we'd be getting audited and...
You know, that's how these guys do it though, you know? And they continue to take all this money from the Federal Reserve. So the Federal Reserve continues to pump out $120 billion, which they may pull back on this tapering program over the next month or 2 months. But nevertheless, they're still getting all of this money at 0, 1% interest rate. And what are they using it for? What are they using it for? They're using it to buy. They're using it to buy other things. They're using it. They're not using it to reinvest in the company in form of hiring people, and they're sitting on mountains of debt.
Well, and think about that. So basically, they borrow our money at 0% interest, right? And they're supposed to be, and if you talk about banks, they're supposed to be loaning it back to us. But then they loan it back to us in the form of credit cards and stuff like that at like 20% interest and stuff like that. So we pay all the interest. They get it risk-free. We pay the interest if we get it, but we never see it because a lot of these companies never go lend it out. It goes towards bonuses. So basically, they're taking our money at 0% interest.
Yep. Yeah. They're taking taxpayer money and then lending it out 0% interest to these companies. It's just a big, 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 you know, field day for them. So again, protect yourselves, folks. Make sure that you're protected financially. You know, whether it's investing in crypto or other assets that are outside of this corrupt system. You know, do you want your family's future tied to this? Do you want your family's future tied to a, you know, a volatile stock market? Now, I'm not saying like some of these companies are, you know, are going to be gone, you know, like an Apple or something like that, where I have some of my long-term portfolio, but I don't have my family's future tied to the stock market. I have a small, small portion in the stock market with long-term companies that have sustained during crazy times, right? So I, you know, I'm not necessarily worried about like a Ford or an Apple or those types of companies. So again, but playing speculation right now, having your money in a 401k with all of these fees and not having a plan when the bottom falls out over the next 6 months, 7 months, whatever it might be, I mean, the writing is on the wall. How many more brilliant analysts who've nailed it before, by the way, repeatedly been correct? I mean, look at Ron Paul, for instance. I mean, here's an example of somebody who's repeatedly been correct, and he is predicting a major correction. How many more people that have been correct time and time again do we want to listen to? But I think they just kind of keep buying like drunken stock market guys because they're like, we'll be fine. And they right up until the last minute, they're trying to get that money out of that lemon, you know, like right up until the last possible second. And they pull their money out. They run for the Hamptons.
Well, and get this too, like Ron Paul was exactly correct. And they're borrowing our money at 0% interest. And then they go and they make these bad investments and everything. And then when they start to run out of money, we come and bail them out for the stupid stuff that they did with the money.
Right, exactly. You know?
And like Ron Paul said, like back then, he's like, let them crash. If these guys are making these bad decisions, they should be allowed to just crash. Like Bear and Stearns and all those, they should have been allowed to crash. And because it would have been a lot easier to get back from that than where we're at now. Because all we did was perpetuate the inevitable, which is coming.
Yeah, all we did was kick the can down the street. So we never allowed ourselves to go through. I mean, this is exactly what Neil Kashkari talked about. We never actually had the full correction because the federal government stepped in, right? We never had the cleansing that we needed. So these banks got propped up, and that's exactly what's happening right now. And all of these banks are just flush with cash, and they're making record profits because the Federal Reserve just continues to pump billions of dollars per month there. Get ready,
folks.
Yeah,
we can't get a stimulus.
Yeah. Yet Congress can't figure out, you know, its ass from a hole in the ground to trying to get a stimulus to us. So that's the very latest on the stock market. Protect yourselves. Drop me a comment below about what your plans are. If you have any questions, drop them in the comments below. I will attempt to answer them on this investing front. We've got more news to get to today on the show. I do want to talk about what's going to happen with this $1 trillion coin and what the Federal Reserve is, or the Treasury is ready to pounce on this. Pretty crazy story. Then we'll talk about shrinkflation and what you can be expecting to pay for just general household goods. And we'll also look at Congress and Facebook coming up here in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Athletic Greens. So you might have been noticing that I look a lot better, don't I? Don't I just look absolutely handsome lately? I know you were thinking that, right?
Yes, definitely. That haircut and everything. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I really have to thank Athletic Greens. Now I just signed up like with my own money. I bought a subscription for me and my wife I've been drinking it every day. My Athletic Greens, absolutely love it. My mom even texted me 2 nights ago. She's like, I signed up for Athletic Greens. She's like, I need more vitamins in my life. 75 vitamins in one scoop of Athletic Greens. You're even getting broccoli in there, and it tastes darn good. So now every day I make a shake. It's not a shake, but I make it a scoop of this in water for my wife and I. And my wife, who's very critical of this kind of stuff, she's like, I've noticed a total difference. That's pretty high praise, I would say. So Athletic Greens is very simple to sign up. Gives you comprehensive nutrients right in a formula, right in one scoop. All you do is put it in 12 ounces of water and shake it up. I take it because, first of all, it makes me feel better. I've been losing weight. After I had my COVID 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, like this was all I was taking really to get making sure that my body had the vitamins it needed. And I was able to bounce back as a result of it. So I used to have like, I don't know, 6 or 7 bottles of different random stuff, you know, vitamin, glucosamine, biotin, which is, you know, for your skin and hair and stuff. All of that's in Athletic Greens. So you don't need to have all of these different bottles of stuff. Just get Athletic Greens and put one scoop in the water and it saves you all of that money. Delois asks in our chat, is that like wheatgrass? I don't know if it's like it. I've never actually done the wheatgrass thing. Did you ever do wheatgrass?
No, but I've drank supplements with it in it. So I wouldn't doubt if it's in there somewhere.
But the thing is, this tastes really good. Like, I like the taste of it. And I wouldn't, by the way, be drinking it if it was hard to taste. I wouldn't want to do it every day. But it tastes really good, and I look forward to it. So, again, I'm a huge fan. Their new AG1 by Athletic Greens. It's their new AG1 simplified formula. It's simple to build your health routine with AG1 and take ownership of your health. The cost effectiveness of AG1 compared to buying all of those vitamins and prebiotics and superfoods separately, you're going to save a boatload of money. So I'm a huge fan of it. You know, one tasty scoop of AG1 contains 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced ingredients, including a multivitamin, multimineral, a probiotic, greens, superfood blend, and more in one daily serving. Yeah, it aids with gut health, digestion, and support healthy immune system, effectively replacing multiple pills with one delicious drink. So big fan of it. And here's what you're going to do. You're going to get a 1-year free supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. If you visit athleticgreens.com/invest, you have to go to that URL, athleticgreens.com/invest today to take control of your health and give AG1 a try. So our thanks to Athletic Greens. Shaking it up right now. But I'm a big fan. They ship, I think, like all over the world too. So,
well, I'm going to find out because I'm signing up right now.
Good. And yeah, you can take it on the road too, because with your travel packs, when you're doing overlanding and stuff.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, I want to make sure while I'm out, I get my nutrients. So.
Yeah. So I'll do it sort of in the afternoon. It's kind of like an afternoon snack and it holds me over till dinner. Or sometimes I'll do it as like a meal replacement for lunch. And it's so good. Anyway, so our thanks to Athletic Greens. And even if they weren't sponsoring it, I'm sold. I'm in. So I'm subscribed. And so for me and my wife, Mom, you got to tell me how it is. Mom, I want you, by the way, Mom, if you're watching, I know she is, record a little video of yourself when you get your Athletic Greens in the mail and tell us how it is, and we'll put you on the show and everyone can say hi, Mom.
Oh, that'd be cool. I'd like to meet her.
Yeah. Mom, come on.
Boom. Order placed.
Awesome. Boom. Way to go. All right. We've got more news to get to. Let's talk about this. So it's no secret that the Federal Reserve has an enormous balance sheet right now. Okay. The Federal Reserve is upwards of 10, about 8 or 9 trillion now in debt. Like after the 2008 recession, they just never paid that money back, right? They propped up banks after the 2008 recession and they kept it on their balance sheets. They never reduced their balance sheets, which is a big problem. Now, given COVID and everything else, they've just added to their balance sheet, funneling money to Wall Street. So we've got a big problem. And we also have the debt ceiling problem, right? Where Republicans and Democrats just can't get on the same page. Republicans are saying, hey, we know that we ran up the bill on the debt ceiling, on the debt amount that we agreed to under Trump. We're just not going to pay those bills. You're going to have to do it on your own, says Mitch McConnell to Chuck Schumer yesterday. Great. So now we've got upwards of $28 trillion that the federal government, the United States Treasury, is sitting on. So where are we going to come up with the money to pay all of this back? Aha! Aha! Well, we've got new information this morning about the Treasury's plan. Front page story this morning. Plans an emergency $1 trillion coin. Wouldn't it be great? Like, if you were in this much debt, like, David, I don't know how much, like, you know, at one point I was, you know, almost over $100,000 in debt. What if I just decided one day I'm just going to print myself a $100,000 coin that would get me out of that debt? How about that? Sounds like a novel idea, right? Why not? It's exactly what the federal government is planning to do. A $1 trillion platinum coin could be minted at the last minute. Yes, that's right. A $1 trillion platinum coin could be minted within hours of the Treasury's decision to do so. Philip Deal, former director of the United States Mint, tells Axios why it matters.
Congressional. Are they saying so they can say that it's backed by something? It's backed now. It's backed by platinum.
Yeah, it'll be backed by platinum. It'll be backed by platinum. Why it matters? Congressional solutions to the debt ceiling problem could take weeks to implement, especially if the reconciliation process is used and time is running out. So what the U.S. Mint would do, he says, this is exactly what we would do. We would produce a 1 ounce. We would produce a 1 ounce platinum eagle coin. And we have no shortage of platinum that's already in stock. So they would convert, they would basically say that this platinum is now worth $1 trillion. Producing a $1 trillion eagle coin requires only the denomination to be changed. This could quickly be executed on the existing plaster mold of the platinum eagle. Then an automated process would transfer the new design to a plastic resin mold. Even if Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, has no intention of minting such a coin, there is no reason for her not to quietly instruct the Mint to take the steps necessary in advance of this catastrophe as a stopgap measure. And to that point, a coin could be struck in minutes at the West Point Mint. That's all we would need to do. So this is our solution to our debt problem. And you wonder why I talk about the collapse of the U.S. dollar? That we could literally print money like we want to, you know,
yeah.
Out of thin air.
And they're doing that because they know in like 10 years, we'll be using those $1 trillion coins to get bread.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. How much does that Coca-Cola cost? That's $1.5 trillion. Think we're joking.
Look at Zimbabwe.
Look at El Salvador. Look at Venezuela. Did you hear the news about Brazil? In the past 48 hours, Brazil is moving closer to accepting Bitcoin as legal tender. Brazil. Hundreds of millions of Brazilians. This would be the largest in the world that would be accepting Bitcoin as legal tender. Folks, the jig is up. The jig is up with these banks.
So is there thinking like, oh, all we got to do is print 28 of these coins and our economy's fixed, our debt's gone?
Yeah, like we're just going to take this, and we're going to change the denomination of the platinum so that it's now worth $1 trillion. Hey, we got 28 of these. We're golden. We're good to go. Made of platinum. Again, just look to the Monopoly board. I'm going to save this and print this out. What if the banks run out of money in the Monopoly rules, right? Number 11. What happens? Some players think the bank is bankrupt if it runs out of money, but the bank never goes bankrupt. To continue playing, just use slips of paper to keep track of each player's banking transactions until the bank has enough paper money to operate again. The banker may also issue new money on slips of ordinary paper. That's how they operate.
It's like your money's in Bale's house and your money's in Carol's house. Like, we don't have any cash here.
There's no cash. We don't have any real money at all. We're just going to create money.
Well, and now better hold on to your platinum because they're going to probably need to get all the platinum for us so it holds more value for them. all those platinum Eagles and stuff we've purchased over the years.
Right. I mean, think about the, you know, you think that when you, well, like my wife's wedding ring is platinum, you know, like, so is it illegal to hold platinum at some point soon? I mean, that's the thing. Like, remember, don't you think I'm joking, but that's what the United States government did to gold, right? Americans were not allowed to hold gold. It was illegal to have gold.
Well, remember silver certificates. They confiscated all the silver. Bring us your silver.
Yeah.
And we'll give you this certificate.
Lala in our chat, thank you for the super chat. Lala says, I told my friends the good news is we are all going to be millionaires. The bad news is that Zimbabwe is full of trillionaires. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So at the point that a coin could be struck in minutes at the West Point Mint, even if it then needed to be physically deposited at the New York Fed, that's only a short helicopter ride away. So the government could print $1 trillion coin at the West Point Mint in upstate New York, not too far from West Point Academy, fly it down to the New York Fed and make a deposit.
Okay.
And everything's fine.
So let me get this straight. I'm glad to see the Treasury is finally getting involved, by the way. But so the Treasury is going to print $1 trillion coin.
Right.
That represents that's made out of platinum from our money.
Yes.
And then they're going to take it and deposit it into a private bank that supports Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, America.
Yep, you got it. You got it, America. You got it. Voila, he says. We'd have bought ourselves the equivalent of a $1 trillion increase in the debt limit without any impact on inflation. So this is how we could avoid the debt limit crisis. Basically create a fake new buffer out of thin air.
This is the equivalent. This is literally the equivalent of actually doing nothing also. Like the reverse of that is just do nothing. The same thing is going to happen.
I mean, this sounds like something my son, I love you, my 11-year-old son, but this sounds like something that he would come up with, right? I mean,
it's like, hey, Dad, I want to get that PlayStation 5, but well, we don't have the money for that. No, look, I made my own coin.
Right.
Here, Dad.
Exactly. And just deposit it in your account. Like, son, I don't think that's how it works. No, Dad, I'm telling you. Well, how are you going to deposit it? Like, who's going to recognize this as legal tender? Well, we'll just create it. Like, in school, they were, he and his friends were learning about currency and about banks and so forth. And I wanted to make sure that he was being taught correctly about it. And his school is fantastic. And they were learning about currency and a government. So they created a government. He and like three of his buddies from school, they were in different groups, right? So they created the country of Turtle. They said, I like turtles. So they wanted to create a turtle. And they're three boys or four boys. So they're like, I like turtles. So they called it Turtle Country or whatever. And then they had to come home at night and they had to create a currency, turtle currency. So they were drawing these bills of like turtle money and stuff. And I'm like, that's basically exactly what they're doing. Like, that's exactly what the Treasury would be doing. Going up to the mint and creating out of thin air this like fake currency that does not exist, a $1 trillion coin, and then depositing in the bank, and now suddenly everything's okay. I'd actually rather have turtle money. I don't know about you.
Yeah, me too. And I cannot stress enough how ridiculous it is that they are depositing that into a private bank. This is a private bank that props up Wall Street on a monthly basis. They're printing money for Wall Street, not us.
Right. Right. What David's saying is that the Fed is private, right? It's a group of private banks. It's not run by the government.
There's no oversight.
There's no oversight. So just deposit this $1 trillion into the Federal Reserve of New York, the Fed Bank of New York. You're good to go.
It's like Wembley. I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. Do you think that guy ever paid his debt for those burgers?
No, Wimpy, of course he didn't.
No.
So a $1 trillion platinum coin could be minted at the last minute. Again, you don't think the U.S. is in trouble? Look no further, my friends. Look no further, my friends.
Well, who's the genius that came up with this?
I mean, what's amazing to me is that we don't even have an accounting of how much gold the United States has. Like,
no, it just magically disappeared. We used to.
We used to have, well, we never actually had a full accounting of it. We never actually had a full accounting. Harry Truman, when he, that was one of the things that he believed in doing. So he, one, as my wife has talked about, she read a book recently on this exact subject. So we were just talking about it. She, you know, Harry Truman, he wanted to have an accounting of all the gold at Fort Knox. Like that was one of his mandates. And then the people that were assigned to do the counting were like brought in, but were not even tied to the actual process. There, it was like, they got like, you know, they got like interns to do it. And it was like, it happened very, very quickly. Like it was not even an accurate, it was like, it was done very, very quickly and incomplete. And then they were like, okay, we're good. But it was like wildly inaccurate. And Harry Truman, he must have heard something, right? It's very easy when you're not like the man in charge and then suddenly you become the man in charge. And now you start hearing from your, oh, we're just going to look the other way. We don't actually want to tell the world how much gold we actually own. No, no, keep it quiet. Okay, go. Okay, we'll just keep it quiet then.
Well, and
that's
it
how
was
our
all,
government operates.
It was like all at Fort Knox. But did you hear like during 9/11 that there was some vans with gold bricks in it underneath the Federal Reserve or something like that? Do you remember that story?
Yeah, I remember hearing the story. There was a lot. I mean,
but like our gold was supposed to be like, so the way that it's supposed to work. So Nixon removed this, but the way that it's supposed to work is we were never supposed to be able to print more money than we had gold. Money was backed by gold. So if whatever we had in gold, we could have in currency. And that's what you have to have. Your currency has to be backed by something, because when it's a fiat currency that has no backing, that never succeeds ever in history. Like if we want an example, we've got several examples we can go back to and look at over the course of life, and no fiat currency has survived. And we thought that it was a good idea to remove gold. But then all of a sudden, now the gold's disappeared. Like it was at Fort Knox, and now nobody knows where it's at.
And by the way, why is China hoarding so much gold? Right? Why are governments hoarding as much gold as they can get their hands on? Because they know what's coming. It's the one thing, it is the one asset that has sustained for thousands of years through war and famine and plague and turmoil, gold and silver.
And wait until those countries decide, hey, you know what? We're going to start trading oil in gold, and there goes our dollar. It'd be done right then.
Yeah. Or, I mean,
unless these platinum coins save us, of course.
You know, or of course, or water.
Yeah, I mean, or water.
Look, I don't want to be so doomsday here, but look, you need to be, because how are you a country that operates with $28 trillion in debt? You have a Federal Reserve that has not paid back its balance sheet, $9 trillion in debt. You have a market that is basically built on fantasy right now. You have a stock market that's built on fantasy. I mean, I don't know if you watched this company yesterday. I was watching closely this company yesterday, CEI. And this whole back and forth about a company that says, hey, we're shorting this company because they've got like a, they've got a fake CFO. They have fake numbers. They have an energy technology that's basically fake vapor. That's what the hedge fund was basically saying. We're shorting this company because this company is a joke. Think how many companies like that exist in the stock market. There are very few companies like that I invest in or pay attention to that actually have a great team and actually have an asset that's going to grow. But most of these things are like fantasy.
I mean, it's like fantasy. The Federal Reserve. That's exactly what the Federal Reserve is.
Yeah. Yeah. What is the Federal
Reserve? It's like fake numbers. We don't know. We don't know how much they hold. We don't know where all the money's gone. Like money just comes up missing. We can't get an audit. We've been trying to audit since 20. I can't even remember when Ron Paul first put out the bill to audit the Fed. It's never been audited. And they are in control of our money, and they are not a federal institute. So nobody's elected there. So they can just do whatever they want, print whatever they want. And now the Treasury, our Treasury is printing them money and sending, well, they do anyway, but now they're sending them platinum coins.
And think how powerful they are. Think how powerful the Fed is, right? And we get these elected officials in there for a few years. The real power sits in the Fed, right? The real power sits in the military. It sits in this extracurricular government. It's not even elected by you. That's how this thing operates. So there you go, folks. Get your hands right now, if you can, on a $1 trillion coin, courtesy of the U.S. Treasury, $1 trillion.
I wonder if somebody's going to try to counterfeit those. Imagine walking into a bank.
Do you have change for a trillion? That's all I've got. I only carry big bills with me these days. I've got a trillion right here. Do you have change for that? That'd be funny. Not going to happen. We've got more news to get to in a moment. I want to talk about what's happening with Facebook. We'll talk about Facebook. We're also going to talk about shrinkflation. We're going to talk about how these numbers, it will affect your family and how these the cost of goods based on inflation are going up. We're going to show you that in just a moment. What's in the TV, Michael says. Those are stocks. This is the market. This is live market analysts that I'd like to keep up. But we're going to have a whole change here in the studio. So, but yes, this is market data right now. So Grom, G-R-O-M, is has a volume right now of about 2.3 million shares being traded. So these are the top. Roku is moving early morning today.
Roku?
Yes, Roku is doing
what
well
the heck
this morning.
Happened there? Did they launch a new app or something?
No, I don't know about that. I'll have to see if it's an earnings day or something for Roku. I didn't see why there's news on that, but anyway, yeah, just keep my eye on market data here as well as Bitcoin data throughout the show. Okay, we got more news to get to, but I want to tell you about our friends at Grammarly first, because I wouldn't be able to produce our daily newsletter without Grammarly. Grammarly is
well,
the
you
way
would. It would just be very, like, you know,
poorly written.
Yeah,
it would be poorly. Well, it'd have bad grammar. Yeah. It would have poor grammar. It would be badly. My newsletter would be badly without Grammarly. Really would. When it comes to saving time and working more efficiently, it's the little things that start adding up and hogging all of your time. Grammarly Premium gives real-time suggestions in your writing. It works right with inside Gmail. It works right with inside any kind of browser. So Safari,
Google
Chrome, Google Docs. Yeah, we use Google Docs for our daily newsletter.
There's even an Apple keyboard you can get.
Oh, yeah, on iOS. So if you use an iPhone, you can download the Grammarly keyboard so that as you're typing text messages or anything, any text field will give you, you know, it gets rid of passive voice. And you become a better writer. That's the thing. You become a better writer, and it actually scores you over time. So now I don't make as many mistakes as I used to. Two years of using Grammarly, I've gotten better now.
Yeah, I was like reluctant. I tried it a couple of times. I was like, man, this is like really bothers me or whatever. But then I was like, I was writing more content, and I was like, I really want this to read right. So I started getting it. And now it's like, even when I'm sending text messages to friends, I'm aware of my grammar and my punctuation. And so right. I've been like, it has literally taught me how to use an Oxford comma.
Exactly. Or not use it.
Or right? Not use, like, it. Exactly.
Yeah. Like we are at my wife. She's like, no Oxford comma in the newsletter. So we don't use the Oxford comma. So you can learn that. So anyway, clarity suggestions, vocab suggestions, all of it with the free version of Grammarly. That's the thing. You can try it for free. You know, you're safe from embarrassing basic spelling. Just try it for free. But then if you want Grammarly's premium service, they have advanced time-saving features. Helps you write more clearly and efficiently. Streamline your workload with seamless integration into Microsoft Office, your internet browser of choice, your phone, and more. Close all those thesaurus tabs. Or thesaurus. And save research time with vocab suggestions. Get right to the point with clarity suggestions. So here's where I want you to do. You get 20% off Grammarly Premium by signing up at grammarly.com/invest. That's 20% off with grammarly.com/invest. Hit send with confidence and get your point across more effectively with Grammarly Premium. That's right. Thanks to Grammarly. That's right.
That is one that I usually struggle with. Affect and effect. Affect and effect.
Oh, yeah.
Still have to stop and be like, okay, is this...
I have a problem. I'd be curious in the chat. How many people in the chat have like one word that they routinely spell wrong? For me, it's the word definitely. I think I've gotten much better about it. I think I've now figured it out after many years of like it being in my head. That and the word similarly, I've had trouble with. Or no, separately. Separately, because it's, oh, is it an E or an A after the P? You know, that throws me off. And definitely has thrown me off. Is it an I or an E? And similarly, those are my three.
I'm almost afraid to admit mine. Mine are any words that have the IE or EI, peace, friend. Like I still, when I'm writing it, I have to be like, okay, it's EI, IE, like to this day, even with Grammarly.
Really? So I before E except after C.
Yeah. But I still can never remember that and have to be like, okay, it's F R E I.
Jim Jackson says opportunity in our chat. Yeah, that's tough. Yeah, because I'll put a U where the O should be.
Opportunity?
Opportunity. Grim says cinnamon. Yeah, that's tough. You know, I remember since I was a kid, like Mississippi. I'll never misspell Mississippi because I just, you know, that little rhyme or whatever it is. M-I-S-S-I-S-I-P-P-I.
I'll never spell it wrong again. M-I-S-S-I-S-I-P-P-I.
But I need to see it written down. It's hard for me to say out loud spellings of things. If I have pen and paper, I'm better about it. Anyway. All right, let's get more back to the news. Get ready, everyone. Shrinkflation is coming. Not shrinkage. Not like a frightened turtle, but actual shrinkflation. Smaller products, rising prices, hitting grocery store shelves. I mean, you may have noticed this already. How many of you have been to the grocery store recently or been shopping and you've noticed that the cost of your favorite things has been going up? We've been tracking this over the past few months here, have we not? Mm-hmm. Now, shrinking products, rising prices from cereal to soap to paper towels to pretzels. You're not getting as much as you used to at the grocery store. So these packages are getting much, much smaller now, unfortunately. And when you know, cheese, yogurt sizes, all of it are getting smaller. And consumer blogs are saying that products linked to, like, for instance, like oatmeal packets of 10 have been cut to 8, but they're paying the same amount. Tuna cans have gone from 7 ounces to 5 ounces. Family cereals slimming down from 19 ounces down to 18 ounces. This is all part of shrinkflation. It's basically a convenient way of concealing higher prices because, admit it, most people don't even look at the ounces on the side of it. They just buy the same can, right? They get the same thing of milk.
One thing about how they can hide that. They can put it in the same exact size container, just put a little bit less in there. You're not going to notice an ounce, but an ounce to them, over millions of people buying it, that's a million ounces.
Right. Think about, like, remember the airline stuff a number of years ago when they cut out, like, the peanuts and stuff on mm-hmm. the airplane? Or they stopped putting something in a drink or something. There was, like, one little thing that they stopped doing on airlines, and it saved them millions of dollars for this, like, one little thing, like an olive in a drink or something like that. And it saved them millions of dollars. So I believe it, right? So think about the maker of Huggies, for instance, and Cottonelle toilet paper announced it's going to charge 4 to 9% more. So now the shrinkflation issue is worse because now you're getting your carrots, you're getting other, you know, meats and stuff.
Are those carrots?
Those are ginormous carrots.
Holy cow.
Those are probably like genetically altered carrots.
They'll have to be. I've never seen a carrot that big. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, that has to be like a genetic, you know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. When you go to these grocery stores, you don't get like organic stuff. They're all like shiny and like genetically altered, clearly, you know, like gasoline prices going up. But gasoline prices, by the way, there's, you know, that's another thing that was supposed to be coming down. That's continuing to go up. So for instance,
we were hacked, Clayton.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Colonial Pipeline. But the maker of Huggies, for instance, and Cottonelle, it's going to charge 4 to 9% more now through 2022. As if, by the way, families aren't struggling enough. You know, parents right now during this time, they don't have additional help. Now they're going to be paying more for, you know, basic childcare items. So they're going to be getting less in your package, but you're going to be paying more. 4 to 9% more. And Gillette razors, Tide detergent, also looking to increase prices. All of them. One economist says, that anytime we start slowing down manufacturing and shipping while in the U.S. demand for products is high, what we're going to see is supply not being able to meet demand, which is a surefire way to have increased prices.
Well, I guess the dollar store is getting a new logo.
Well, the dollar store, funny you should say that. We wrote about it in the newsletter last week about the dollar store. Like, they should change their name to, like, the $10 store.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're going to put a 10 in front of their logo.
Doug says Dollar Tree Plus. Yeah, Dollar Tree. They're not, I mean, what's a dollar anymore at the Dollar Tree? Like, it's $5. And by the way, all that crap anyway comes from China. And, you know, it's like all stuff that falls apart and harsh chemicals and...
When you open it, it smells so bad, you like have to leave the room.
What the? Oh, yeah, the chemicals and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. or like, you know, the cleaning supplies at those places. Like, really? I wouldn't be using that stuff in my house.
No, I ordered a dog pen on like a playpen kind of thing on Amazon. Yeah, yeah. And it came, and it's a Chinese thing. And I opened it up, and we had to move it out of the house because it smelled so bad our eyes were burning. Like, we literally had to put it outside and let it air out.
That's amazing. And then you're going to have like your dog in that thing, right? Getting like some sort of weird chemical.
Yeah. So, I mean, I still have it because I let it air out and it's not bad now. But like when we initially pulled it out, it was so bad. Like we're sitting there and we're just like, is that thing? Like, I'm getting it out of the house. Like, we're just sitting there like, oh God, that is horrible.
And you know what's sad about the dollar store is, like, where do they pop up? Where do they build dollar stores?
Poor neighborhoods.
Poor neighborhoods. And then what do poor people do? They go to these dollar stores and they buy these like imitation like cereals that are coming from God knows where. Like, cereal's bad enough, right, for your body. And you know, as like, it's not even food. And then now you're going to have cereal from like some, I don't know where it's coming from, you know, that they get at the dollar store instead of Cheerios. It's like,
and probably bypasses regulations.
And then, yeah. And then you want to buy, remember the dollar store, like there was like a beach chairs that they had to recall a little while ago from the dollar store. You get a beach chair at the dollar store. It was killing people. The beach chairs literally were killing people. They were like slamming down and suffocating people. It's like, wow, it's a quality item you got here at this establishment. Wow. So it's just
not
awful.
To mention, like you're saying, the chemicals and stuff. Like if you're buying silverware and stuff there and you're cooking with it and you've got that, what is it, BPM or whatever that chemical
BPA
is?
And,
BPA. Yeah. Like you're eating that stuff and you don't know how long before it actually washes off.
Yeah. Yeah. You're buying like, you go, oh, I got to go to the dollar store and get a spatula. Yeah, you want to use that spatula on your food? Like, come on, man, you know? So, you know, you get what you pay for. And unfortunately, these dollar stores, they pop up in lower income neighborhoods, sadly, and then they end up selling you crap. But now all the prices are going up. So now you're paying more for the crap. So, you know, dollar store, forget a dollar. It's, you know, $5, $10 now. And they're going to be adding a lot more items that are more than a dollar at the dollar at the dollar store. Sovol, who's one of these economists, says, like, being mindful and watching our usage is about the only thing we can do as consumers right now. Sovol says that shrinkflation goes back to the 1970s. Judging by the history book, she says the changes usually stick. For instance, orange juice used to come in half gallons or 64-ounce containers. Also, Dial soap adapted its trademark concave shape. You know, it's like, or remember, it's like, I don't know, you hold a Dial soap, it's like, oh, it's, and they, I love the marketing for it too. It's like, it's curved to fit your shoulder, you know, like now in a new concave shape that'll get, it makes it easier for you to rub your elbow or shoulder with that bar of soap. No, it's just them shaving off more soap so they don't have to sell you it and they're going to charge you the same amount. Brilliant. I mean, this is how these companies take advantage. I mean,
well,
advantage.
And that's the guy that gets moved up to CEO. The guy that makes that decision is the guy that becomes CEO and gets a huge bonus.
Right. He gets $3 million bonus because he saved the company $2 million on soap. It's all in a way to give us less and in some cases even charge us more for this stuff. You know, Breyers ice cream is another good example. 64 ounces have gone to 48 ounces, but you're paying the same amount.
Wow.
It actually, oh, I'm sorry. The price didn't stay the same either. It went up by 25%. So we went from 64 ounces to 48 ounces and the price went up 25%. Shrinkflation, folks. It's here. Shrinkflation. Not the same as shrinkage. Let me know in the chat if you are experiencing this right now in your town. I'd be curious. I would be curious. Like rye bread, Nancy Dubin says 10% less product. Like now in her rye bread that she gets. Yeah. Kevin Snyder says, I remember buying larger size single Reese's for 0.5 cents. Now, smaller pack is 75 cents. Unbelievable. Crazy. Crazy, crazy. More news to get to. Let's talk about Congress. So if you've been watching what's going on with Facebook over the past few days, it's been bad for Facebook. Of course, on Monday, they had a massive outage that lasted upwards of 6-7 hours due to some server issue that shut down WhatsApp, shut down Facebook itself, shut down Instagram, and I applauded it. I was like, great. The only thing that I actually use is WhatsApp to communicate with team members and so forth. But hey, I'll jump over to Telegram. I'll jump over to Signal. You know, no skin off my back. But on Sunday, whistleblower from Facebook, who was a part of the research that was involved in figuring out, like, how bad is Facebook for kids? How bad is Facebook for people's psyche and girls, young girls as well? So she was featured on 60 Minutes. Huge explosion, of course, of PR problems for Facebook. Then they had the outage on Monday. Then yesterday in Congress, that same whistleblower testifying before Congress, answering questions in this committee in front of these senators about Facebook's practices. You know, like, is Facebook really the bad company that we all know it to be, right? But interestingly, all of these senators who were interviewing this whistleblower have all taken money from Facebook, it was revealed. So here's Marsha Blackburn with a straight face, one of the senators, giving her monologue about how bad Facebook is, right? And talking about how bad Facebook is.
And related to beauty. Social comparison is worse on Instagram because it is perceived as real life. But based on celebrity standards, social comparison mimics the grief cycle and includes a downward emotional spiral, encompassing a range of emotions from jealousy to self-proclaimed body dysmorphia. Facebook addiction, which Facebook calls conveniently problematic use, is most severe in teens, peaking at age 14. Here's what else we know. Facebook is not interested in making significant changes to improve kids' safety on their platforms, at least not when that would result in losing eyeballs on posts or decreasing their ad revenues. In fact, Facebook is running scared, as they know that, in their own words, young adults are less active and less engaged on Facebook, and that they are running out of teens to add to Instagram. So teens are looking at other platforms like TikTok, and Facebook is only making those changes that add to its users' numbers and ultimately its profits. Follow the money.
Follow the money. She said that. Amy Vanderpool says, Marsha Blackburn just actually said follow the money with a straight face during the Facebook whistleblower hearing? Yeah, she did. You caught that correctly. So, you know, it's amazing to me to see these, like, these hypocrites who managed to do that. These senators, when will your, hey, why don't they ask, like, hey, you know, follow the money. Hey, by the way, just while we're here, I have you right now, Facebook. Just wondering when the next campaign check that you're going to write to me is going to arrive at my office. I didn't receive it yet, but you can let me know later. But okay, back to the serious questioning. Facebook, you're bad for society. You're wrecking little girls' lives. You're off, you're a terrible company. We know Facebook's a terrible company, right? When is my next campaign check going to arrive at my office? Can you tell me?
Or where's my coupon for my free ads that you're going to get me to run on your platform?
Yeah, I'm going to run some campaign ads on your platform. You'll probably let me do it for free, right? So get this. All but one of the people yesterday that questioned during this testimony yesterday, all but one of them have received checks from Facebook. Isn't this amazing? Literally every senator up there that was questioning this whistleblower and asking questions of how bad Facebook is has all received campaign money from Facebook. Hypocrisy. And no mention of it, by the way. You know, like, I was listening to an NPR story yesterday. At the end of the NPR story, they say Facebook is a supporter of NPR. Like, they made a point of mentioning that at the end of the report. Like, Facebook donates to National Public Radio. And guess what? NPR was doing the story, talking about Facebook's problems. Good for NPR. right? NPR was covering the story, and at the end of the story, they said NPR is Facebook is a supporter of NPR. And we know they are, right? They know they give money to all these people because they want to curry favor, right? So when you look at these individuals, Zach Everson, a reporter, did some great reporting yesterday during this hearing. If you were watching his Twitter thread, it was hilarious because as each of these speakers came up there, he put them up on Twitter how much money they made from Facebook. Senator John Thune is speaking now, right? Republican at the committee's Facebook hearing. Thune has accepted $31,000 in political donations from Facebook. And the list gets on here. Look at this. Senator Richard Blumenthal, the chair of the committee, $15,000 from Facebook. Marsha Blackburn, $10,000 a year from
the one that was just talking.
Yeah. Yeah. Marsha Blackburn.
To beauty. Social comparison is worse on, and ultimately it's profits. Follow the money.
Oh.
You know what's funny? When I first saw her, I thought that was Cheney.
Oh, Liz
And then
Cheney?
I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
I get
follow the money, follow the money, Marsha. Where does the money come? Oh, you've already received money from Facebook. Follow the money. Interesting. Follow the money. You know, this is our campaign finance system at work right here. Right?
Hey, Amy Klobuchar. Good for her.
Yeah, Amy Klobuchar, another person questioning Facebook. Democrat, former presidential candidate, $15,000. Senator
now,
Brian
had
Schartz
she been
in Hawaii.
Made, had she been made president, do they lose that money or does that still does that get increased?
Oh, it probably gets increased. Now she'll get hundreds of thousands of dollars, probably. So guess who the only member that doesn't take money from Facebook?
I'm going to guess Justin Amash.
Nope. It's right there on your screen.
Oh, Ed Markey.
Senator Ed Markey. Is he independent or is he caucus with the Dems? Is he a Dem?
Maybe he just has no idea how to get in that pool yet.
Maybe.
He gets all his from Twitter. It's like, I hate Facebook.
I will give him the benefit of the doubt. He is, exactly. Well, he was the Green New Deal guy. I mean, this is the reason why he was elected, right?
Yeah.
And he certainly supporting progressive causes, right? He's the one that wanted to provide $2,000 a month in stimulus checks until this pandemic was over, Ed Markey. Like, good for Ed Markey, right? Senator Brian Schatz, $35,000 in Hawaii. Rob Lujan, New Mexico, $7,000. Jerry Moran in Kansas, $21,000. Roy Blunt, he's always getting money in Missouri. Good thing he's retiring. John Thune of South Dakota, $31,000. John Thune. Mike Lee of Utah. Todd Young of Indiana. All of these guys. I mean, if you search Twitter, okay, for campaign finance and Facebook, you will be overwhelmed by how often and how much they are clearly above the law and how they've helped elect these different people. I mean, unbelievable, stunning story that Facebook just worked, you know, basically like, I mean, it's just crazy what Facebook has done here. Facebook lists 24 executives on its website, 21 of them, okay? All of these people have donated millions to political campaigns, 3.9 million. So good on Zach for doing some great reporting here on this story. But follow the money, Marsha. Let's just follow the money because it's going to point right back to you, right? That's how this stuff works.
That add to its users' numbers and ultimately its profits. Follow the money.
Follow the money.
Yep. They get the money at 0% interest and roll it right back around to their execs and to these people.
It's all one big happy family, these guys.
It is.
So it's going to be, you know, it'll be interesting to see, like, when they're going to, and right now their senator are trying to get Mark Zuckerberg to come back. They want to put on this dog and pony show in front of everyone. You know, any time they hold these hearings, I feel like they're just, come on, You know, they're doing it just because it's political opportunity at the moment, right?
Yeah,
it's everyone's
theater.
Talking about Facebook. It's political theater. It would be nice if Mark Zuckerberg, you know, when he gets testifies before them and they ask him questions about money and so forth, he can say, well, Senator, you know, Facebook has donated a lot to your campaign. Do you feel like that has swayed you one way or the other? And, you know, it'd be interesting to see them, like him throw that back at them, you know?
Wasn't it funny how they get these viral videos? They have these, they question this person. Ooh, this person questioned this person and really grilled them hard. And the video goes viral and everybody's like, yes, they're doing their good. They're doing their work. The progressive did their work. They stood their ground. And then nothing ever comes of it, ever. Right. It's like it just goes away. And then that person has solidified themselves as somebody who's a fighter and somebody who's strong. But then you don't pay attention to the vote they do on the next bill that comes around, and they vote for the military spending or vote for the Iron Dome or something like that. It's like, dang it, they got us again.
Yeah. That's right, man.
Nothing makes sense.
Exactly, Judge. Hit the nail on the head, Judge. You always do. You always do, Judge. Anyway, all right, everyone. Peace out. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning at... tomorrow's Thursday. Okay.
Yeah.
Tomorrow morning. Thursday. Yeah. Keep us here. Keep it plugged in. Subscribe to the channel.
Friday, for those of you, get your pet photos in, because we do pet photos on Friday. So,
yeah, send us your pet photos, pets@morninginvest.com. If you're new to the show, we do pet photos on Friday. So send them in. Email us, pets@morninginvest.com. Please put your name and the name of the pet. My assistant, Arshia, will put them in a folder for us. So we need to know your name and the pet's name.
Yeah, be clear, because it's hard sometimes, because they'll say like the name and it's not, and it's, there's no, like it's hard to tell if it's the pet's name or, and if you have multiple pets, like.
Right. Yeah. Like, here's Grover, my 1-year-old mini pincher. It's my co-host.
And my Snuggie.
Last night, Natalie caught me. He was laying in bed and he had been laying there for a couple hours, and I came up to get ready for bed and I just like climbed in the bed. I had my book with me and I was going to read, and he was just like on top of the covers, curled up like a little deer, like he is right now, like a little reindeer. And I was just like whispering to him. I'm like, you're such a cute doggy. You're such a cute. And Natalie like peeked out from the bathroom. She's like, did I just catch you just like talking to him, like whispering little sweet things to him? I'm like, yep, you did.
Sweet nothings.
Like, sweet nothings. I'm like, you're such a cute little doggy. You're such a cute. And she's like, are you talking to him? I'm like, yes, I am. Yes, I am. All right, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.
Oops.
Peace.
Peace.